Let me invite you to find your sermon notes for this morning. And as you do that, I want to ask, how many of you also received the devotional booklet that came along with this? How many of you did not get a devotional booklet? Some of you? I hope that you'll pick it up on the way out if you didn't get that. As you look at the devotional booklet first, you'll notice that it has weekday devotions, and they're all of the same format. There's a scripture, a short lesson, and then a prayer. So that's Monday through Friday, and you'll notice there is no Saturday or Sunday, and that's because these are in preparation for the message that you will then hear in worship. So we hope that you'll be with us on either Saturday or Sunday so that you can receive all the blessings of the devotions as well. Well, before we get into the message for today, I want to talk a little bit about the difference between joy and happiness, because each week we're going to talk about joy. And normally we don't associate giving with joy, certainly not stewardship at church with joy, but that's what we're going to do. So today it's the joy of receiving God's blessings. Next week it is the joy of managing God's blessings. And then the last week it's the joy of sharing God's blessings. So just all kinds of joy these next 3 weeks or so. But what's the difference? And Laura did a great job explaining to the children. Let's take it just a little bit further. So in your notes, you can fill in the blanks. First of all, happiness. Happiness is an emotion, just like anger. Hopefully it's not with you all the time. So we're happy for a little while. We got that Halloween candy. We celebrated the Cubs victory, and then it's done. So we're not happy all the time, unless, of course, the Cubs win again next year. Then we'll be happy longer. So happiness is an emotion. Joy, on the other hand, is a connection with God, but also with people. It's this feeling that remains with us. And the causes are different as well. Happiness comes from earthly experiences and usually from receiving a material things. Happiness is a great thing, and we hope that it comes to us often. But joy is much deeper. It's much stronger. It comes from spiritual experiences. Its effect is also different. Happiness usually shows itself through an outward expression. So we might smile if we're mildly happy. We might laugh if we're really happy. We might jump up and down if we're extremely happy. That, by the way, is as high as I can jump, so, you know, that's it. Joy, on the other hand, is in here. You can't necessarily tell from someone's outward expression if they are filled with joy. It's an inner contentment and peace. In fact, it's a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, we read about the fruits of the Spirit, something that believers have. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. The list is something that isn't always expressed outwardly, but it is in here. And of course, the time period, happiness, as we know, it's temporary, it's fleeting, it doesn't last. Joy, however, is lasting, and it continues with us. So we're going to talk these next 3 weeks about the joy that we have as the people of God and receiving, managing, and sharing God's blessings. Now, let's take a look more at the message for today and the verse for today. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and there were problems there in the church, all kinds of problems. The people there were divided, and they were divided over many things. What some thought was sinful, others thought was okay. For example, the unbelievers, the pagans there in Corinth, were still worshiping idols. And part of the worship of idols is sacrificing meat. So they would kill an animal, and then they would sacrifice it to their god. Now, some of the Christians thought, well, so what? Those idols are not real. It's just images of stone. So, you know, why waste a good barbecue, right? So let's have that for dinner. Makes sense. Others said, no, you can't do that because of the connection to that false god. So they were divided over that. They were also divided over worship. Now, they had the Lord's Supper just like we do, but it worked a little differently. In those days, instead of worshiping all together in a hall or a church, people would come to someone's house. So it's like you'd all come to my house. We'd all come not only for dinner, but for worship. And that means the Lord's Supper. But it would mean that those of you who are in the front row, the really important people, you get to go first. And that makes sense. But you get to eat as much of the bread as you want. And you get to drink as much of the wine as you want. So not just one little cup like you get here, but the whole cup, the whole pitcher. And some of them did. And what happens when you drink the whole pitcher? You're a little tipsy, right? And some of them did. And Paul said, this is not right. And so he wrote these words, but not only to the people at Corinth, because there is still sin in the world and even in the church today. So he wrote, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? In other words, you privileged people, you're only privileged because God made you so. And those who are in the back who wouldn't get anything in the Lord's Supper, you're no different than those in the front. Everything that you have is a gift from God. If then you received it, why do you boast? As if you were the ones who earned it and didn't receive it from God. Well, that's the message that we're going to look at. And let's see what kinds of practical implications it has for us here in the church today. So take a look at your notes. First of all, let's see if you agree with this. The world is great at seeking and receiving happiness. Agree? Yeah. Thomas Jefferson wrote that is one of our inalienable rights in the Declaration of Independence. The pursuit of happiness, and pursue it, we do. And it begins at a very early age. What is one of the first words of the two-year-old besides mama, dada? No, mine, mine. It's like the little bird, mine, mine, mine. Mine is mine, yours is mine, everything is mine. It's all mine, mine. Well, we don't change all that much, really, as we grow and mature. The world still is great at seeking and receiving happiness, getting what it wants. The world's not very great when it doesn't get what it wants. All we have to do is watch the news this week or listen to the two-year-olds. The world is also not very good at receiving blessings with joy. We're good at receiving stuff. We love to get gifts, but we're not always very gracious, like the two-year-old. Or when we get a compliment. Oh, you did a wonderful job at work. Or, you know, what a beautiful, beautiful baby. Oh, I know. Yeah. We need to learn to receive everything in life because it's all a gift from God. With joy and gratitude. So let's take a look then at a few different things that leads us to where we're going today and how we can begin to look at things a little differently. Let's begin with worship. Your thought process, maybe not consciously, but maybe unconsciously, goes a little bit like this. I decided to get up this morning. I decided to get dressed this morning. I decided to get in my car this morning and go to Emmanuel for church. And when I get here, I'm going to sing the songs. I'm going to pray the prayers. I'm going to go to communion. Later on, I'm going to give for the offering. And those are all true. You did all those things, or you will do all of those things. But let's begin to look at it from a different perspective, beginning with worship. Worship's not so much about us giving, though that is true. It is far more about us receiving from God. Just like little Simon here this morning, his faith in his baptism is completely a gift from God. He did nothing. He didn't decide to come today. Mom and Dad brought him. He didn't decide that he was going to believe in the Jesus who died on the cross. It was simply a gift. So also all of your forgiveness, it's a gift. Your salvation, you didn't earn that. You didn't work for it. It's a gift. God's forgiveness, God's word, God's body and blood, which we receive in the sacrament, it's all God giving to us. And it's our then receiving this wonderful and gracious gift. So let's begin looking at worship differently, and then also looking at this evil stewardship word differently. Because so often in the church, we get to this time of the year and, you know, we think, oh my gosh, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks of stewardship sermons all about giving, you know, giving my time, giving my talents, giving my treasures, giving, you know, my money. Well, you can be thankful it's only 3 weeks this year from the start instead of six. But it's not primarily about us giving at all. It's all about us receiving. Not only our faith, not only forgiveness, not only the Lord's Supper, but everything we have, material and spiritual, including life itself, is a gift from our God. It begins and it ends with realizing what God has given to us. Stewardship is simply receiving all of this with joy and then responding to what God has so graciously given us. The verse that we know the most, the one that we recite the most, the one that is at the very foundation of the gospel. Let's take a look at that. John 3:16. You all memorized this years ago in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He continues to give everything that we have. It begins and it ends with God giving. Let me give you an example of life itself. And this comes from the newspapers from almost exactly 2 years ago. November the 1st, 2014. There's two names, two stories we're going to talk about. You probably will remember them, maybe. The name of Brittany Maynard. Brittany Maynard, let me tell you the story. Young woman, just got married, has her whole life ahead of her. And she has a diagnosis then of an inoperable brain tumor. Very sad day. So she and her husband decide that they are going to move to Oregon, where there is the so-called death with dignity law. And so she planned the last days of her life, even before many of the symptoms of that tumor, of that disease, began to manifest themselves. She knew that they were all coming. So she planned her last days, and one of the things she did then was she conferred with her doctor, who would prescribe the pill that would allow her to die. And he did, and she did. November the 1st, 2014. Well, that's one story, but here's another. Lauren Hill. Maybe you remember her story, a young lady. Basketball scholarship. Going to play, it's her dream to play this sport in college. But she also is diagnosed with a brain tumor. Same prognosis, no cure. But she continues to practice, she works out, even though by this time the symptoms are manifest. She's lost most of her coordination. She's taking drugs that bloat her body. She's not in good shape anymore. And during all that time, she continues to be there to support her teammates and to bring a new kind of recognition to research in cancer. And she plays her first game, and It also ends up being her last game. She scores the first basket and the last basket of her career in that game. And then shortly after, she also dies. It begins the gift of life. And then someday this life ends. But for those who are connected to the cross of Jesus Christ, that life continues. It's only in between that birth and that death that we are allowed then to do stewardship. So, which one of these are you? A Lauren who uses that gift and who makes a difference, who raises thousands of dollars for cancer research, who received the gift of life with joy and used all of her blessings to the full, to the very end of her life. Paul wrote those words to the church at Corinth, but he also writes them to us. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not? Let's learn to receive all the gifts of God with joy, and then to use them through this span of our life, that others might be blessed as well. You know, every week I put a couple of next steps here on the bottom of your outline. Usually memorize something, which you probably forgot by the next day. But let's do this, along with the little children. Make a list of your blessings. All of them, both material and spiritual. All the things that you have received from God. And let's learn then to receive them with joy. Because, you know, we know how this whole game, which we call life, ends up. And Paul wrote these words as well. He wrote, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we have a lot of joyful days here at the church. And there is nothing more joyful than baptizing a little baby. We also have a lot of sad days here at the church. Especially when we have a funeral. And we say so long for a while to someone that we have loved and known and cherished here at the church. And yet those sad days are still filled with joy. Maybe not happiness, but certainly with joy, because we know that individual has received the blessing of God's love. Let's all learn to do that in between the beginning and the end. Amen.